it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
Tuesday, September the 18th. It's the feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino, who is the patron saint of students and those taking a test. So let's begin today praying for those students taking tests today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O great St. Joseph of Cupertino, who while on earth did obtain from God the grace to be asked at your examination only the questions you knew, obtain for students a like favor in the examinations for which they are now preparing. In return, we promise to make you known and cause you to be invoked. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of light and wisdom, thank you for giving me a mind that can know and a heart that can love. Help me to keep learning every day of my life, no matter what the subject may be. Let me be convinced that all knowledge leads to you, and let me know how to find you and love you and all the things you have made. Encourage me when the studies are difficult and when I am tempted to give up. Grant me the grace to put my knowledge to use in building the kingdom of God on earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Coming to you from the studios of Sacred Heart Catholic Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm Anna Mitchell. Matt Swaim is off today. Paul Lockman at the controls for us. And coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Don Johnson, who has created a new documentary called Unprotected to celebrate this 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. Man, I got to get my math right here. Gosh, talk about students. Hi, yi, yi. Brad Hahn will join us from Solidarity HealthShare. They are now covering Napro technology and sterilization reversal in their cost-sharing program, and he'll tell us more about that. We'll talk to Alexis Walkenstein, continuing our series on her book, Ex Libris Fulton J. Sheen. Today we'll be talking about divine mercy. And we'll wrap things up for the hour with Dr. Jim Schrader, and we're going to be talking about how other adults, make it more difficult for parents to make technology choices for their children. Hope you can stick around for the full hour ahead. Right now, it's 2 minutes past. It's time for news. Officials are about to begin distributing food, water, and tarps in Wilmington, North Carolina, which remains mostly cut off by floodwaters from Hurricane Florence. County officials say workers will begin handing out supplies to stranded residents in the city of 120,000 people beginning this morning. One road was opened into Wilmington, at least briefly, and items have been brought into the city by big military trucks and helicopters. The death toll from Florence has risen to at least 32 people in three states, with 25 of those fatalities in North Carolina. Remnants of the once powerful Category 4 hurricane are now a rainy, windy mass of low pressure. The system has speeded up on a path toward the heavily populated Northeast. In Washington, Senate leaders have scheduled a hearing for Monday, in which it's expected Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the woman who is accusing him of a sexual assault in high school will testify in public. Jackie Quinn reports.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats with a last-minute allegation have forced a public showdown Monday between college professor Christine Blasey Ford and Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
They did not raise it in the closed session. The proper forum where such an allegation could have been addressed with discretion and sensitivity.
Moderate Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says she asked Kavanaugh Friday about the allegation and he vehemently denied it. She goes on to say,
obviously, if Judge Kavanaugh has lied about what happened, that would be disqualified.
She says it's important that they hear both sides of the story under oath. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
The leaders of the Koreas have begun their official summit talks on denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and other issues. South Korean President Moon Jae-in and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are holding their third summit this year and possibly the most challenging. They met twice earlier at a border village, but Moon's visit to the North's capital is the first by a South Korean leader in some 11 years. Parents of children in the Catholic Church and survivors of sexual abuse by clergy filed a lawsuit yesterday against Pennsylvania's eight dioceses and their bishops, asking a judge to compel them to release information about abuse allegations. The lawsuit filed yesterday in Pittsburgh comes a month after the statewide grand jury report detailed sexual abuse allegations against more than 300 priests over decades in six of the state's dioceses. The lawsuit alleges the dioceses haven't met their obligations to report child sexual abusers under state law. Benjamin Sweet, an attorney for the lead plaintiffs in the case, said they are not seeking money, but instead are asking for public transparency about allegations. A new study says 2 million teenagers in the U.S. are vaping marijuana. Ed Donahue has more.
A school-based survey shows 1 in 11 middle school and high school students have used an e-cigarette-like device to smoke pot. Vaping is generally considered less dangerous than smoking because burning tobacco or marijuana generates chemicals that are harmful to the lungs. There's little research so far on the impact of e-cigarettes. A researcher with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says cannabis use among young people can have an adverse effect on learning and memory and may hold back later academic achievement and education. Students who said they lived with a tobacco user were more likely than others to report vaping marijuana. I'm Ed Donahue.
And Khalil Mack had one of the Chicago Bears' six sacks of Russell Wilson in a 24-17 victory over the Seattle Seahawks in Monday Night Football. Mack had a strip sack in the first half and consistently pressured Wilson in another dominant performance. Today is Tuesday, September the 18th. It is the feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino, who is patron saint of students and those preparing for an examination. The reason for that? Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit here on the Sunrise Morning Show. But right now, it's 7 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Anna Mitchell, joined now by Don Johnson, who is the writer and director of the new film Unprotected, A Pope, The Pill, and the Perils of Sexual Chaos. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Anna.
Absolutely. So this past July, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. In October, we will be celebrating the canonization of the author of Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI. So we know he's a saint, Don. Was he also a prophet?
Oh, he very much was a prophet, and a very disrespected and ignored one, unfortunately,
as most
50
prophets
years
are.
Ago.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, that document was so clear and prophetic. I don't think even probably he knew just how much insight he was providing us with Humanae Vitae.
Yeah, you know, there are so many issues revolving around sex in our culture today. I mean, you have the Me Too movement, the hookup culture, the crisis of fatherlessness, especially in minority communities. And then you've got sexting, teenage depression, divorce, the redefinition of marriage. I could go on and on. Even the sexual abuse crisis in the church. You know, some people might think that it's a little extreme, Don, to blame all of that on the birth control pill, but do you think we can make that case?
Well, I think you can at least make the connection and see a clear consequence. Maybe not, you know, direct blame it, but I think you look at all of those things you just mentioned, Anna, and each and every one of them would be absolutely inconceivable if you didn't already assume that sex is separated from procreation, that sex and babies don't go together. If sex and babies go together, none of those things becomes a problem in society. And so with that, I mean, the pill provided the means, I guess, by which all of those things could flourish in society.
Well, okay, some people might look at the birth control pill and say that liberated women. It allowed women to pursue careers for the amount of time that they wanted. It allowed them to decide when and if to have children. It allows I mean, basically just the freedom of women. What is your response to that?
Yeah, it's ironic that it was sold as something that's freeing, and it actually has become enslaving in many ways, from divorce to abortion to really work stress. I saw an article in The Atlantic this morning, completely secular article, talking about the negative consequences of women having too much pressure from their careers. And so it actually has become the opposite of what they intended, I think, with the women's movement. Like, give us opportunity, give us freedom. Opportunity is fine, no doubt about it. I mean, thankful for all of that. But the way they've gone about it has actually provided women with less opportunity to do the things that ultimately are really close to their heart and provide meaning and purpose in an eternal sense.
What do you think is the solution?
Well, I mean, Pope Paul VI and then John Paul II provided a pretty clear one for us, and that is we need to get back to the meaning of life, which is to love. One of the things with the pill and with contraception, the contraceptive ideology in the culture, is that it really hurts love. It ultimately kills relationships, not just between man and woman, but between parent and child and all the rest. It changes the dynamic of the way people operate in society. And so if we really want a loving society, we're never going to get there until we get back to sort of like some fundamentals. You know, sex and babies go together. Mother and father are supposed to go together. Parents need, our children need parents, all of these things. And that's what, you know, John Paul II was talking about ultimately with the theology of the body.
Well, how do we even begin to do that in a society that is so rife with divorce, hookups, I mean, sex outside of marriage, fatherless children, same-sex marriage? I mean, how do we even begin to put all that Pandora let out back into the box?
Yeah, right. I mean, it starts, I think, with some simple education. You know, I talked to a lot of young women around the country making this movie, women who have been really hurt by the hookup culture and the sexual revolution. And, you know, they went to like a Christopher West conference or somebody dragged them to church one day where they actually got some of the teaching from this stuff. And they're like, you know what? I didn't realize. I had no idea. I thought the church's teaching on sex was oppressive, you know, and would keep women down. I didn't realize that it actually valued women, you know, and it provided me my dignity and provided me a way to healthy relationships. So, you know, we got to start getting the message out. And we are starting to. I think there's a real counter-cultural revolution happening with young people who are finding the answers that Pope Paul VI, John Paul II provided us.
Well, if we don't see a move in this direction toward love and putting sex and babies together and parents with their children together, I mean, society, if society still dismisses what the church has always taught, and heck, I mean, there are even those within the church that want to backtrack on Humanae Vitae. I mean, what do you think are the consequences if society continues in this direction?
Yeah, I mean, within the church especially, I mean, talk about going the opposite direction. That will actually empty the churches even more if you go away from doctrine. No, I mean, we do have the answers. We have to be confident in that and dig into it. You're right. I mean, the problem within the church is that too many in the pews and in leadership frankly, have ignored the teaching of the last 50 years. And if we think we're going to have any sort of effect, we're going to have to grab on more solidly, you know, more strongly to that teaching and not change in order to try to get in times with the culture. I mean, the culture, we don't want to get in times with the pain of the culture. We want to provide the antidote to that.
Absolutely. I mean, in a lot of ways, we need to start in our very own pews. And with that in mind, Don, how do you do that in this movie? I mean, who are some of the experts that you got to talk to as you created Unprotected?
Yeah, we got to talk to so many great people. I think of, well, I mentioned Christopher West, but Jennifer Fulweiler, Janet Smith, who's one of the experts on Humanae Vitae, Damon Owens, who is wonderful, Patrick Coffin, Dr. Benjamin Weicker from Franciscan, Dr. Carrie Gress. I mean, so many people. We talked to a writer from Cosmopolitan, Sue Ellen Browder, who was right there in the midst of it, telling lies for Cosmopolitan. So the stories are really profound, and the effect that it's already had on the audience that has started to see it. We've been so gratified as filmmakers and seeing women have come up to me and said, you know what, I wish I had seen this when I was 18, or something like, you know what, you just made sense of so many things in my life that I didn't realize, you know, the pain and the sorrow. I now see where it came from. And so, the experts in the stories in the film, God really opened some great doors.
Yeah, quite a list of headliners there. And I'm sure that many people are interested in checking this out or perhaps hosting a screening at their own parish. So where do they get more information about where to see it or how to put one on?
Yeah, so the website is unprotectedmovie.com. We are screening the movie all over the country, including coming up in Columbus, Ohio, on October 18th. But the website to go to bring the movie to your community is unprotectedmovie.com.
Unprotectedmovie.com. Thank you so much, Don Johnson. All right, let's take a look at weather across the nation now. Drenching rain from Florence will continue to pivot across the Mid-Atlantic and New England states today. Flooding in this part of the nation will be generally of an isolated nature in urban and poor drainage areas, as well as along as some small streams. Meanwhile, the river flooding will continue to worsen over the Carolinas and in southern Virginia. Spotty showers and thunderstorms on the tail end of Florence are forecast along the southern Atlantic and upper Gulf Coast regions. A few storms in the coastal Mid-Atlantic could be severe today. Showers and storms will drench parts of the north central states, but will not be associated with Florence. Much of the West can expect dry and sunny conditions for your Tuesday, and a few downpours are likely to move in to southern Arizona and New Mexico from the south. 16 past now on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're back with headlines and more on St. Joseph of Cupertino right after this.
The Lord calls and transforms the Comboni missionaries. He strengthens them with His Spirit and sends them to share God's love with the world's poorest and most abandoned. Do you desire to stand with and proclaim the gospel to the marginalized, the poor, the voiceless, the less privileged in the footsteps of St. Daniel Comboni? Do you feel called to be part of this missionary family? Learn more at combonimissionaries.org. C-O-M-B-O-N-I missionaries.org.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. solidarityhealthshare.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White Incorporated has been constructing with knowledge and providing service with integrity and safety. From heavy industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, South Bend, Whiting, Newcastle, and Boston, you can count on excellent construction service and quality. J.J. White Incorporated, 215-722-1000, and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
It's 18 past, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Let's take a look at headlines. The Vatican today has just published a new apostolic constitution from Pope Francis on the structure of the Synod of Bishops. Officials are about to begin distributing food, water, and tarps in Wilmington, North Carolina, which remains mostly cut off by floodwaters from Hurricane Florence. And in Washington, Senate leaders have scheduled a hearing for Monday in which it's expected that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the woman who is accusing him of a sexual assault in high school will testify in public. You can hear full newscast coming up in about 11 minutes from now at the bottom of the hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. So today, the feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino, perhaps best known as patron saint of students and test takers. And for those not familiar with the story as to why he is the patron, it's because he was apparently not the sharpest knife in the drawer, not the brightest crayon in the box. I mean, pick your cliched metaphor. And he wanted to be a priest. And so he prayed that he would only be asked the questions to which he knew the answers. And his prayer was granted. And he was able to become a priest. He, in fact, became a conventual Franciscan. And, I mean, the coolest part of his story, really, I mean, other than that, which is pretty neat, is just how charitable he was, how holy he was. I mean, he levitated in prayer. When was the last time you did that? And I wanted to read this little quote, which I got from SQPN. It's a reading for his feast in the Franciscan Breviary. It says, "Clearly, what God wants above all is our will, which we received as a free gift from God in creation and possess as though our own." Possess as though our own. When a man trains himself to acts of virtue, it is with the help of grace from God, from whom all good things come, that he does this. The will is what man has as his unique possession. St. Joseph of Cupertino, pray for us. Brad Hahn joins us next. It's 21 past. Attention online shoppers, could you do the Sunrise Morning Show a huge favor by taking a few extra seconds to click the Amazon link at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping? In doing so, you'll go to a normal page and you can buy whatever you'd like. But without spending even a penny more, you're sending some funds our way to help produce the show. So go ahead and buy your groceries, electronics, toys, and of course the books you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show. Just be sure to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
Hello, I'm Father Timothy Scheer, and these are Biblical Impressions. The pursuit of happiness is part of our American tradition. But it may come as a surprise that happiness is also part of the tradition in the Psalms. The very first psalm, for example, begins, "Happy are those who do not walk in the way of the wicked." And continuing this theme, a psalm later in the Psalter, 119, the longest of the psalms in the Bible, begins, "Happy are those whose way is blameless." Other psalms give us some insight into just how we might make our way happy. Psalm 32, "Happy is the one whose sins are forgiven." And Psalms 112 and 128, "Happy are those who fear the Lord." If we look at these psalms that begin with appeals for happiness, we get an idea of the prescription for happiness. It entails walking blamelessly with God, fearing the Lord, and being attentive to those in need. So if we're not happy on a given day, let's turn to the prescription offered to us in the Psalter. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Scheer.
It's the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Anna Mitchell, and happy to welcome back Brad Hahn, the CEO and Secretary of Solidarity Health Share. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, good morning, Annie.
So tell us about what has now been added as eligible for cost sharing in your membership guidelines.
Yeah, we wanted to really honor Paul VI and the kind of the humana vitae, the whole issue. And we wanted to be more than just an ethical minimalism, because, you know, we fight hard every day in our lives just to say we're going to do good and avoid evil. You know, that's kind of our goals every day. But then we decided, well, we need to go beyond above just the ethical minimalism. And this is where it really hit us, because we had a lot of members calling in, a lot of bishops and a lot of priests challenging us. Well, Brad, if you truly are a pro-life Catholic plan, you know, you should be sharing in medical expenses for, like, NAPRO technology, you know, and other reproductive issues there, and also any type of fertility awareness-based messes like natural family planning. They should be included for sharing, because traditionally right now, traditional health insurance is not sharing those medical expenses. So we're actually the first plan in the country, Annie, that really fully supports the vision of Humanae Vitae, fully supports the pro-life, you know, model for women's health care in this country.
That's fantastic. And I'm wondering, did you find that there was a great desire for something like this among your members and others?
Yes, I mean, I couldn't believe the flood of emails we got in from our members. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of being a part of this organization, number one. But number two, I'll give you a classic example. We had a member call in yesterday and saying that their daughter went to a gynecologist, and they're trying to send her to Planned Parenthood to get some birth control right now.
Yikes.
And so then they said, would you share in this type of procedures with Planned Parenthood? We basically said, no. You know, we need to send you to a pro-life doctor. And then we were able to connect her with a pro-life, pro-women doctor in her area to get the to get this type of technology, to get this kind of care and treatment that that we should all be supporting for women. And so that's a classic example where we can come in and help not only teach the truth, you know, of what of these methods and how to uphold God's vision for your marriage and for your life, but we can actually be a resource. And we're working with pro women's health centers throughout the country, trying to coordinate them to make sure they come together to be a strong force to get this great message out for the church.
Well, this goes back to something that you talk about quite a bit in our segments, and I'm sure elsewhere as well, that this is a medical cost-sharing ministry that is really focused on conscience protections.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and so we want to make sure, and that's why we got into this industry, is because we wanted to find a way where faithful Catholics didn't have to cooperate in evil acts of abortion, contraception, and sterilization. Again, you know, Annie, that's that ethical minimalism we look at. And so then now when we get into this and start offering, we're approaching 5,000 members by the end of this this month. 5,000 households will be helping. And we had to take it beyond that. How can we support them? And another big issue we try to support in, and I know some of my friends have gone through this too, is, you know, sterilization reversal. You know, maybe they've had a vasectomy, and then they realize that, you know, that's not what God intended for their bodies, and they go to confession, but then they repent that. But they also may want to take that one-time chance to try to reverse that sterilization. So that's another medical expense we want to share in. How can we be a true pro-life plan? That's what we're trying to strive for.
Can you tell us, like, from a practical standpoint, how does this work? How will a person now receive coverage, if you will, for NAPRO technology or sterilization reversal?
Yeah, well, the first thing is there's an awareness that there's a need out there, just like I told you about this family that called regarding Planned Parenthood this week. It's going to be the same thing. We're trying to get the awareness out. We're trying to, you know, get education materials out to our members to show that there is an alternative. You know, if you have any reproductive issues and, you know, natural family planning, what that's about. That's the first step. And we get a lot of our members calling and said, all right, what is this? You know, and why is this important to me? So it gives us an opportunity to explain NAPRO technology and natural family planning and stuff. But then we take the next step is people will call in and say, I want to do this. You know, how do I sign up for this? And I'll give you an example. I was down at a conference in Dallas one day, and some person said, well, Brad, you've talked about this before. Is there a NAPRO, you know, favorable doctor here in Dallas? And we say, absolutely. We'll get you a good name over there and a good connection over there. So that's the other thing we're about at Solidarity is how can we want to reclaim an authentic Catholic healthcare system in this country, authentic pro-life. And Solidarity is helping to try to organize all these disparate groups like the, you know, the pro-women's health centers that are out throughout the United States. There's some, our great Congressman Andy Biggs out here passed some model legislation and some encouragement for these pro-women health centers. And so how can we coordinate and bring all those health centers together so we can help change the industry?
Well, Brad, I know a lot of couples that have struggled with infertility and have benefited from NAPRO technology. And I know a lot of couples that still struggle with infertility because they haven't had the opportunity to attempt NAPRO technology. So if someone listening to this struggling with infertility and is interested in Solidarity HealthShare because of this new announcement, will they be eligible right away if they sign up, or is there a waiting period like there is for some pre-existing conditions, or how does that work?
Yeah, traditionally there's a waiting period of 60 days before any medical expenses are eligible for sharing, and that's just a precaution. But if there's an emergency, of course, that's a shareable expense from day one. But we have to we talk to a lot of our members, and we just want to make sure we protect the membership.
Sure.
So we don't want somebody to come on and cause a lot of medical expenses to the community and then get out after 1 month. So we just want to make sure that, number one, is they understand how health sharing works, and number two is how can we protect the existing members as well. So NAPRO technology would be a classic example of after 60 days, that would be an eligible medical expense.
All right, and if listeners are interested in signing up for Solidarity Health Share, finding out if it's right for their family, how can they get more information?
Yeah, they can reach us online at solidarityhealthshare.org, or they can simply give us a call at 844-313-4999.
All right, thank you so much, Brad Hahn. It's 1:30 now, and time for news. The Vatican today has published a new apostolic constitution from Pope Francis on the structure of the Synod of Bishops. The document is called Episcopalis Communio, or Episcopal Communion. One road was open, at least briefly, into flooded Wilmington, North Carolina, and big military trucks and helicopters were able to bring in supplies to stranded residents. Officials say they'll begin distributing food, water, and tarps this morning. In Washington, the Senate will hear from Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser. Tim McGuire reports.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has a public hearing next Monday to question Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and college professor Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault at a teen party some 36 years ago. The decision to hold the hearing delays a committee vote on Kavanaugh that had been set for Thursday. I'm Tim McGuire.
The leaders of the Koreas have begun their official summit talks on denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and other issues. South Korean President Moon Jae-in and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are holding their third summit this year and possibly the most challenging. They met twice earlier at a border village, but Moon's visit to the North's capital is the first by a South Korean leader in 11 years. President Trump has declassified a trove of documents related to the early days of the FBI's Russia investigation, including warrant information and messages from the fired director of the FBI. Jackie Quinn reports.
President Trump has long alleged the investigation against him is tainted, so he's called on the investigative agencies to declassify documents and text messages surrounding the case. Trump is declassifying all FBI reports that document interviews with senior Justice Department official Bruce Orr, who was in contact with ex-British spy Christopher Steele. Steele compiled a dossier involving Trump's alleged activities from political research funded by Democrats. The president's also directed the Justice Department to publicly release the text messages from then-FBI Director James Comey. The president says the releases come in response to calls from his congressional allies who believe that anti-Trump bias has tainted the Russia investigation. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin spoke at the 12th World Congress of Families in Moldova this weekend, reflecting on the Christian vision of marriage and family. From Vatican Radio, Robin Gomes reports.
Cardinal Parolin said that the family needs to be proclaimed in its integrity, especially in times like our own, when we are conscious of how deeply fragile so many human relationships appear to be. Families, whose nature is God-given and whose vocation is love, are today, perhaps more than ever before, called to be a beacon of hope, a ray of light in our world, he said. The Cardinal explained that today's individualistic, utilitarian, and consumerist culture poses grave challenges to the family. Extreme individualism weakens family bonds and ends up considering each member of the family as an isolated unit. This individualistic culture, he said, enjoys enormous prestige in the world of media, finance, and politics, but it ultimately relegates intermediate institutions like the family to a non-essential option. Church bodies and organized religion are relegated to the private sphere, and relationships such as the family or those within the church are not essential to the process of generating profits. In this situation, Cardinal Parolin said, the church is called to reaffirm its confidence in God's plan for the family and the natural institution of marriage. As an image of God, he explained, the family is the building block of every society where mutual growth and development are promoted amidst differences. The lived-in experience of the beauty of the family, the Cardinal said, is the strongest argument we have because It tends to welcome rather than exclude, show compassion rather than condemn, attract rather than impose. Cardinal Parolin stressed that the family contributes and will always contribute to the harmony and development of every society. The structure of a society, he said, is dependent on the structure of the family and on the relationships nurtured therein. I'm Robin Gomes.
A media report linking half of the cardinals and bishops who served in the Netherlands between 1945 and 2010 to abuse cases has drawn the country's church and the global sexual abuse and cover-up scandal into more turmoil. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The
Now that it's back to school time, are you needing a little more of a pick-me-up to get back into an earlier routine? Look no further than the Mystic Monks of Wyoming for the coffee blends and teas you need to perk you up each morning.
And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com before you shop, a portion of your purchase price is given to us as a commission.
And while you're at our site, pick up a Sunrise Morning Show mug in our online store for just $10.
Get some great coffee in a great mug, all the while supporting the Sunrise Morning Show by going first to sunrisemorningshow.com.
What does the Church say about excommunication? With regard to the Catholic Church, to be excommunicated is to have been cut off from the sacraments and from participating in liturgical ministry in the Mass or other public worship by the Church. Because of the seriousness of excommunication, this level of punishment is applied to only relatively limited types of offenses. These include desecration of the Blessed Eucharist, physical force against the Pope, procuring an abortion, rejection of the Church's teachings through apostasy, heresy, or schism, violation of the seal of confession, and consecration of one bishop by another without mandate by the Pope. In cases of specified very serious offenses, for example, having or participating in the occurrence of an abortion, the mere fact that the act is carried out is cause for the penalty. In other instances, the penalty is not imposed automatically, but only after a thorough investigation of the matter and formally notifying the person involved of the seriousness and potential consequences of the act. If you have concerns or questions about the matter of excommunication, please consult a priest for guidance and direction. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It's 37 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Anna Mitchell. Alexis Walkenstein is back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show. She is the editor of Ex Libris Fulton J. Sheen from Pauline Books and Media. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning to you, Anna.
So today we're going to be talking about a passage from Fulton Sheen's Life of Christ. And I was thinking about this. We've discussed a few other passages from this book prior to today, but I don't think that we've ever gotten really an overview of the book, Alexis. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. This is a compilation of Sheen's writings. Fulton Sheen had over 70 published works. A lot of people know him from his television radio broadcast, but not everybody knows that he was the author of 70 published works that really unpack the faith. And this is just a little spiritual bullet. I write an introduction and share how Fulton Sheen invaded my life. I'm a daughter of John Paul II's pontificate, and here's Fulton Sheen, a saint in the making of my parents' generation, and I had a very profound experience in prayer. And so I share about that, and then I get into the various headings under the big thought of Sheen in his life. So the book is broken down into the area of God being fire, human freedom, divine love, sin, and knowing Jesus. And under that big thought, excerpts from his works that are very pithy but dense, and hopefully give the reader enough true food to want to go deeper. There's a at the back of the book in the Ex Libris section kind of outlines the works that I select from if people want to, you know, pick up those books and kind of explore a little bit more. So it's like a little devotional that you could have. You can pick up a few pages, put it down, use it for a daily devotion, that kind of thing.
It's been pretty awesome going through this book with you. Now, the passage that we're going to be discussing today, you've entitled Divine Mercy from the book Life of Christ. Can you tell us a little bit about Life of Christ?
Yeah, Life of Christ is, I would say, one of Fulton Sheen's best. I mean, if you really want to start somewhere beyond my little Ex Libris compilation, Life of Christ is Jesus in Technicolor by Fulton Sheen. He takes the elements of Christ's life in the gospel and unpacks the truth of what we see in Jesus in the Bible. And it's a catechesis of the life of Christ for us to understand better his coming and his death and resurrection. And I think any Catholic who really wants to know who it is that they serve and who it is that came to die for them should have Life of Christ. Mm.
Now, the passage we're discussing today, which is in the context of a section that you titled Divine Love, this one talks about the love of Jesus for his bride.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting in this particular section, so divine love, you know, in the natural, we want to know about the mystery of sex, and we want to know about, you know, the three to get married and the sacrament of marriage and all those things, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about exactly Christ's love for the bride and his divine mercy. And I titled it Divine Mercy because I think many of us recognize you know, the devotion to divine mercy is today in our generation. Fulton Sheen here in this passage is talking about Christ giving his spirit to show that his love was stronger than death and blood and water coming forth. So when I saw that blood and water coming forth, I thought, that's the divine mercy. Let's talk about the divine love being the divine mercy of God, which is completely, you know, visible in the wounds of Christ. So in this very brief passage, you know, Fulton Sheen has just an uncanny way to, he doesn't take long to get to the point, you know, so you don't need several pages to get into this. This is literally like, you know, a page and a half. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. He talks about, you know, St. John, who witnessed the scene of the soldier piercing the heart of Christ, wrote about it later. It is Jesus Christ whose coming has been made known by the water and blood as well, not water only. And then he says, Fulton Sheen says, there was something more than a natural phenomenon here. Inasmuch as John gave it a mysterious and sacramental significance, water stood at the beginning of our Lord's ministry when he was baptized. Blood stood on the close of it, and he said, I'm turning the page, when he offered himself as a spotless oblation, both became the ground of faith. For at the baptism, the Father declared him to be his son, and the resurrection witnessed again to his divinity. So he has such a way to, like, you know, Fulton Sheen, to explain to us, you know, you could read in the Bible about the blood and the water, but Fulton Sheen is connecting the two points in Christ's life. And the mystery and the reason of why we see the evidence of the two mingled together, which become the source of mercy. So it's just like, gosh, you know, you just want to saturate yourself in Fulton Sheen's words to become reeducated and let these realities, the truth of the heavenly reality, wash over you, literally.
Well, I, you know, you started off talking about why you called it Divine Mercy, and I thought that was so interesting because, of course, I mean, while St. Faustina was certainly someone who may have been known to Fulton Sheen, the devotion to the Divine Mercy didn't really happen in an official capacity, I guess you could say, until John Paul II instituted it as the feast day, the first Sunday after Easter. And so I was thinking about that and how Fulton Sheen, I think, am I right, had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart?
He did. He really did. And I think I threw in the Divine Mercy title as kind of a prop in a way to the connectedness of Fulton Sheen and John Paul II.
Oh, sure.
Because I, you know, like I said, you know, daughter of John Paul II's pontificate, Fulton Sheen not being my generation, I continue to see the parallels between the two of them and their witness. You know, Fulton Sheen had three to get married, and John Paul II had theology of the body. You know, like three to get married was really a precursor to TOB. And yet, you know, here's Fulton Sheen, Divine Mercy, like you said, was not really advanced until, I mean, gosh, I remember working in the Diocese of Palm Beach in like 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and being from the Northeast, where Faustina was known and the Shrine of Divine Mercy, you know, was still like a devotion that was like catching fire and root mm-hmm. in South Florida. And so that's how new it is. But yet, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and the devotion to the Sacred Heart is like the precursor to the understanding of the Divine Mercy, you know, which is all contained in the Sacred Heart. So...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the blood and water gush forth from the heart of Jesus. I mean, that is the most sacred heart of Jesus. I love the part where it says, though he was spared the brutality that was arbitrary, such as the breaking of his legs, nevertheless, there was some mysterious divine purpose in the opening of the Sacred Heart of God.
Right. And the next part is awesome, too. I mean, and I love how he keeps pointing to John. You know, because really we are John, right? Like John is like, we can relate to that position. You know, John who leaned on his breast the night of the Last Supper fittingly recorded the opening of the heart. I mean, like it had to be recorded. The opening of the heart had to be recorded. At the deluge, Noah made a door in the side of the ark by which the animals entered, that they might escape the flood. I mean, this is so brilliant. Now a new door is opened in the heart of God into which men might escape the flood of sin. Mm. How could we, I mean, who's teaching us this on the weekends at Mass? Like this is a direct, he's showing us, you know, the mystery of the Old Testament and the symbolism and the reality of what Noah's Ark stood for, and in the coming of Christ, the fulfillment of the new law to take away sin and death. I mean, it's just awesome. And how could we ever forget this? It's such an imprint on the mind.
Oh, it's so beautiful. The book is Ex Libris Fulton J. Sheen, an incredible passage contained within it. Alexis, we'll look forward to talking to you again next time. In the meantime, Ex Libris Fulton J. Sheen is linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. All right. It's 13 till now on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're back with Dr. Jim Schrader after this.
Catholic Singles is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. If you're looking for someone who shares your faith and values, Catholic Singles is a great resource for bringing single Catholics together. Like Matt and Christine, who married a little over a year ago and have happily welcomed their first child. Founded by a Catholic single like yourself, Catholic Singles is committed to your needs as a Catholic by matching you with authentic Catholic principles, resources, and modern dating technologies. Let Catholic Singles help you find the perfect match on the web at catholicsingles.com/sunrise.
I'm Matt Swain, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. And services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Attention online shoppers. Could you do the Sunrise Morning Show a huge favor by taking a few extra seconds to click the Amazon link at the top of sunrisemorningshow.com before you start shopping? In doing so, you'll go to a normal page and you can buy whatever you you'd like. But without spending even a penny more, you're sending some funds our way to help produce the show. So go ahead and buy your groceries, electronics, toys, and of course the books you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show. Just be sure to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses.
The Catechism is very clear in Numbers 10:33, 10:35, and 10:37. That it takes only one mortal sin to have one go to hell by their own doing. God sends no one to hell.
Open Line with Father Wade Meneses, Tuesday afternoon, 3 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. James Schrader. He's online at james-schrader.com. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
You know, there are plenty of parents out there who would prefer for their children to not have their own smartphone, even teenagers, even though it seems like every teenager has a cell phone these days. I know you are among those kind of parents, and there are some parents out there who don't see what the big deal is. So can you tell us, first of all, why you would be a parent who would not want a teenager to have a smartphone?
Well, honestly, I think it's the healthiest option not to. I think that probably, to say it most concisely, I think that when you look at kind of the psychological, physical, social, and even spiritual health of our kids and our seven kids at home, we feel like it's, from research-wise and many reasons, the best option not to.
I mean, is this really feasible in our world, though?
It sounds crazy, right? I mean, everyone's kind of gone that route. It feels like 85% of middle school students have a phone or an access to one. But we can't forget that it was only like 15 or 20 years ago that none of our kids had one. And the world is changing, but not that much. It's actually very feasible, and there's many, many advantages to not having one for kids.
But there are also plenty of obstacles out there, which brings us to a piece that you wrote for Alatea, 9 Ways Adults Are Making Parents' Tech Decisions More Difficult. And I have to admit that I am part of the problem here as it pertains to at least the first type of adult on your list, those who do not have a landline. Why would that be a problem?
Well, the challenge is this. So let's say kids come over to your house and they don't have a phone themselves and you don't have a landline at the house. When it comes time, let's say if they have to reach their parents, unless there's a range set time that parents are coming over, they have to resort to either using the phones of their friends or using your phone, your phone that comes in. And landlines themselves never had any texting. They never had any personal information, but the smartphones do. And so kids are feeling kind of awkward for good reason, sometimes about asking to use even another adult's phone for fear of other kind of information, accidentally coming upon that or text coming in or things like that. And so there's a little awkwardness that develops there.
What about coaches? What's the problem there?
Yeah, what's interesting is that more and more coaches are, it used to be that practice began and ended at certain times. Now it seems, and I have conversations with various parents and our own experiences, that coaches seem a little bit more on the fly with when things start and end. I had a parent recently who said they almost feel like that even last minute they have to have a phone available to know if the coach is going to shift practice or kind of move things. And so everyone's kind of feeling like I've got to be able to be reached, even last minute.
Now, it's an age-old issue, parents and, trying to restrict their parents, their grandparents, if you will, from the types of toys and things that they buy and spoiling and the like. And so that's an issue now with technology, I guess?
Well, it is, because one of the number one gifts for Christmas are electronic devices, and that includes even mobile devices. And I think that many of your viewers out there probably have experienced this, that, whether it's grandparents or other family members, with good intention often, are getting mobile devices for these kids and not really necessarily asking the parents whether or not they want them. And we can't forget, again, once they get a mobile device and the internet connection is available and other communication options are available, it opens up a whole world that parents may not feel comfortable about.
So what is your message to grandparents today, Dr. Schrader?
I would say please, please, please talk to the parents before you get anything like this for your grandkids.
That was a diplomatic way of putting it. Well, you also, in this piece, single out school administrators, middle school teachers, and high school teachers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a few things are happening here. One is that more and more students, even in middle school, but especially in high school, are describing that teachers are assigning, giving assignment, but sometimes even giving assignments or revisions through texting at, you know, evening or after hours to kind of let them know of updates or things they need to do.
Really?
And that cross, really, yes.
Wow.
And so there's a really kind of boundary crossing. I honestly feel it's happening there, where when students go home, and I think it's a good time for all of us to break and kind of go into our other lives, that there's communication that's happening after school. But even in the classroom, what's happening now is that more and more students are being asked to pull out their phones and use them for assignments or work that's being done. Well, if you're one of those oddball kids, like our kids will be, that doesn't have a phone, that puts you in kind of an embarrassing place.
Wow.
Not only maybe for your peers, but also for the teachers, like you're kind of embarrassed that you don't have a phone necessarily to pull out. So, I think there's a lot of good intention here, but I would just caution, like, school administrators, teachers, please remember, like, there are those of us who choose to kind of not necessarily give our kids these devices, and we really do believe that, you know, for rest purposes and boundary purposes, we really should keep all of this to school, especially.
What about other family members, Doc?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I've noticed, and even with our own kids, that, you know, we understand our kids are going to get their electronic fix at times, and that's not a big deal. But I think sometimes they start to sense that certain family members are really quick to hand over their phones and fine to do it, you know, at a moment's notice, and really don't have a limit on that. And I would just say to other family members, remember, again, kind of like the grandparent thing, before you start handing over your phone to play, you know, games for your niece or nephew or whoever, just make sure the parents are okay with that, because a lot of times it just happens without even kind of questions being asked.
Mm-hmm. And we've run out of time to get to the last two, but talking about the business world and the advances in the business world and how they are so readily using instant communication via mobile devices and how we undermine ourselves. I really encourage folks to go check out this piece at Alatea. We'll throw it up on our Facebook page, which you can find through sunrisemorningshow.com. Dr. Schrader, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks as always.
And of course, you can find Dr. Schrader online at james-schrader.com. That'll do it for this national edition of the Sunrise Morning Show for your Tuesday, September the 18th. We've got two more hours coming up for our local listeners and for those of you who listen via the Sunrise Morning Show app, which you can download through our website. Go to sonrisemorningshow.com and you can find links to the Google Play Store or the App Store to download it, or just listen online right there. We'd love to have you along. For the EWTN audience, we'll look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow. For Paul Lockman, I'm Anna Mitchell. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.